How many of you know where your birth certificate is? All right, the better question might be, how many of you don't know where your birth certificate is? I'm in that camp. I couldn't put my hands on a birth certificate I need to. My wife and I were filling some paperwork out in the last few weeks that required us to produce the birth certificates of all three of our children. Thankfully, we know where they are. I don't know where mine is, but I know where they are. That's a good thing, because I have heard that replacing a birth certificate can be challenging. My kids were born in three different counties over two different states, and I've heard that in some places you even have to go directly to the courthouse and petition them for a copy out of the public record in order to replace your birth certificate. Thankfully, we didn't have to do that. Now, you know how a birth certificate works. A birth certificate doesn't prove that you were born. If you want to know if my three children are alive, all you have to do is listen to the volume level in our house to know that they are alive. The fact that they have a birth certificate doesn't prove their life. But what a birth certificate does is it proves that at a specific place, and at a specific time, and to specific parents, that your life began. It proves, it gives us validity that we are who we say we are. It becomes really the first document that we have that identifies who we are. It stops us from being someone we're not. It helps shape the direction that our lives will take, and it really holds us back in later years from pretending to be something that we're not. This whole issue of birth certificates and whether or not you can find yours is something Jesus would probably have been interested in as he talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. If you've been at Foley United Methodist Church over the last few weeks, then you know we've been in a sermon series through the month of June where we've been talking about living a right-side-up life. We've been talking about the kingdom of God and how when Jesus came and walked this earth, that his primary message was that the kingdom of God was at hand. Jesus did not spend his time talking about going to church. He did not spend his time talking about getting into heaven. He did not spend his time talking about how we should be good citizens. He talked about the kingdom of God. And he invited people to participate in the fullness of what God is doing right there where they were. For Jesus, the kingdom of God was at hand, and there was no need to wait for the sweet by and by where someday our name would be called up yonder to live fully into the glory of what God wants for us. Jesus taught and welcomed people to come and know the full authority and reign and value of God right where they were. Of course, what that meant is that they had to turn from the kingdom of the world that was all around them, that they had to put their back to the way that the world worked, that they had to realize that the kingdom of the world was broken and fallen and evil, and that it would never be the way that would lead us to a fulfillment and a completement of all that God wants for us in our lives. What we've talked about over these last few weeks is that to really live this way, to really live right side up, means that we have to recognize that the world around us is upside down. It may feel like what's normal because it's what we see so frequently. But for us to take seriously what Jesus is about means that we have to recognize that the world out there has got it backwards. That what they say is valuable and what they say is important never automatically matches up with the ways of God. And so we've been talking about what would it look like for our lives to be right side up. And it's into the midst of this idea of living into the kingdom of God, of living a right side up life, that Nicodemus walked out into a secluded place to talk to Jesus one night in John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a respected Jewish leader. He came, they say, under the cover of night to protect people from seeing him, that it might hurt his reputation if folks knew that he was beginning to have intrigue and curiosity about who Jesus was. And so he came and he could tell, like many of us maybe can tell at times in our lives, that God was up to something. He could recognize that in his midst, God was doing something, the miracles and the signs and the teachings of Jesus. And so when he came out to the scene and began to do just what he would do with any other person he had a conversation about these things with. He began to engage Jesus in conversation to say, "We recognize how great you are and how you're doing all of these things." What Nicodemus was really doing was seeking to take Jesus and find out how he could take what Jesus was doing and have it augment his own life. But Jesus will have no part of that. For Nicodemus and for you and me, Jesus will not allow us to take him and try and convert him to our terms. He will not say, how can you take me to augment the life you already have? Jesus' requirement is simple. Come to me. Surrender to me. My way is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus doesn't hold that hard line because he's trying to be mean or trying to be difficult, but it's because he knows that what he offers, the life he can give, the abundance that we can find, is only great in him, that there is nothing that matches him, that there is nothing as good as what he offers. And so Nicodemus begins this conversation saying, let's have this conversation, and Jesus says no. He cuts straight to the point, and he says, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born from above. And then he takes it a step further. He says, not only if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be born from above. What Jesus is challenging Nicodemus with and challenging you and me is that there's this sense that in the human and physical world, in the kingdom of this world, that what's born of flesh is flesh. But if we want to participate in that which is of God, that which is spiritual, that we have to be born of God as well. That there is no progression in our world from living by the way of the world and by seeking to follow the rules and seeking to be better and seeking to just try harder and seeking to go to church more or attend a small group or even come to the brunch. None of those things in and of themselves will ever move us from the place of this world into the place of the Spirit. What Jesus wants us to know so clearly, what he wants Nicodemus to know, is that spiritual life requires spiritual birth. Spiritual life requires spiritual birth. That if we are going to participate in the things of God, then we have to be born into the life of God as well. Now, you probably know this far better than me. I find as a man, anytime I talk about what birth is like, I immediately am shunned when I get home. But you know that births are all different. Some of our physical births are really hard and difficult. They take a long time. Some are easier and come more quickly. Some are traumatic and require many people to assist to make sure that birth happens. And some happen almost before we even seem to be ready. Our physical births take all kinds of shapes and forms, and that's true with our spiritual births too. And while our physical births and our birth certificates don't prove that we're alive, all of us know that we were in fact born. And so if we begin to think about our participation in what God wants for us, all of us must point back to a spiritual birth. If we want to fully embrace what God is doing, if we want to see the ways of God, if we want to walk into the fullness that we can only find from Him, we must be born from above. Spiritual life requires spiritual birth. I wonder what's on your spiritual birth certificate. I wonder, as you think back to those moments or seasons or days, what that might be like for you. For some of us, it might have been an instant, like a flip switching or a switch flipping, where all of a sudden we went from being off to being on. For others of us, it might have been more like a flower blooming, that it took a long time and all of a sudden you woke up one day and realized, oh wow, I've come to surrender myself to something greater than who I am. For others, maybe it was more traumatic or more difficult. Maybe for some, it happened almost without our even recognizing what was going on in our midst. But just like we can all point to a physical birth, can we all point to a spiritual birth? Spiritual life requires spiritual birth. The good news about the God that we love and the God that loves us, the God that we celebrate on this day, is that he stands ready and willing to write birth certificates. That he stands ready and willing, no matter where we find ourselves, to claim us into his family. That he stands ready and willing to put the specifics, the time and the place and the moment of who you are, into the time when you said, yes, I am choosing you. Yes, I am leaning on the everlasting arms. Yes, you raise me up. And I want the life that can only be found in him. Just like we don't need our physical birth certificates to know that we're alive, that the fruit of our lives should show that. That's really how our spiritual lives should work too. That the fruit of our lives, our transformation into the likeness of Christ, should ultimately point to the fact that we were, in fact, born into the spiritual world. But sometimes it does good to stop and look back, to stop and think, and to stop and evaluate the specifics of our birth. I wonder how many of you know where your spiritual birth certificate is. Pray with me, please. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you are faithful and that you are loving. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much that you will welcome us into your family. And God, we thank you that no matter where we are, where we've been, that it's never too late for us to experience that birth from above. And so, Lord, as we continue in these moments of worship, would you help us check our spiritual birth certificates? And would you help us surrender ourselves to you in new ways in these moments? We pray in Jesus' name, amen.